the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
How's everyone doing? Well, hey, I missed you last week. I was in Alabama, Montgomery area, to be specific, Elmore County. I was telling my dad this morning, I saw more cars on Wednesday morning on my way to work than I think I saw the entire time I was in Alabama. There's one point where I was with a pastor out there, and he was telling me how we need to get gas. And I go, I don't think I've seen a gas station. You have those? Yeah, they do. It's very different. I mean, everybody owns like 1,000 acres of land. I feel like everybody has a riding lawnmower, which I feel like I'm missing out on, because all the wives are excited about riding the lawnmower, and the husbands have to do all the weed eating. And I just am like, I think I'm missing out on something here, because I need a riding lawnmower. My lawn's not big enough. But so, I was in Alabama for a week, and I spoke 10 different times to about 26 different ministry leaders and pastors all throughout that area of Alabama, just sharing with them about City View, what God's doing here. There's an association there to explain it all in detail, but there's a group of churches there that support City View financially. They help us as a church. You know, as for those of you who don't know, we are a church plant. We're a brand new church, been 3 years old. We're 3 years old. And it costs money to rent this. Costs money to do all the things that we do. Like, we talk about City Kids and all that stuff. Everything costs money. Nobody gives it to us for free. That would be nice. But this group of churches, they help us. And so they give us a little bit of money each month. And that allows us to do different things that we do. And so they asked me to come out there. And so they helped fly me out there. And then I just shared a lot. And just shared stories. And it's just really cool when you get to talk about what God's doing. It's easy to just sort of get stuck. Look back and see everything that's life, and you just move. And you don't often look back and see everything that's happened. Because it's easy to look back at all the mess, because those are the things that leave the scars. You look back going, yeah, I remember that. Like, I have a scar on my arm that I was chasing a girl in like second or third grade. My son asked me, Dad, how'd you get that scar? I'm like, well, son, it was a Sunday night church service, and I was chasing a girl. I remember those things. But you see, we often forget the good things that happened. And so going to Alabama and just sharing with them and sharing with them the amazing things of what we've gotten to be a part of over the past almost 3 years. You know that at City View, we've seen over 60 people baptized here alone in less than 3 years. That's just amazing to get to share things. Like, I was at one church, and the pastor, they said, we're having our first baptism in 5 years. And I get to share, we've had 60 in three. That means lives are being changed constantly. So if you have not been baptized here, if you've not been baptized, period, and you've had a life changed by God, and God has worked in your life, come tonight, join us, get baptized. It's not going to make you go to heaven, but man, what it does for your life, it's a whole nother step in that relationship with God. It's just an amazing thing, and so I want to encourage you, if you've not signed up for baptism, sign up. I'm going to remind you again at the end of service. So, back into the sermon, the message now. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. And have you ever seen those police officers standing in the middle of the road directing traffic? You know, have you ever thought what would it be like if you stood in the middle of the road and started to direct traffic? Like, if I got out there, you know, people are making fun of me because I'm just a little more fancy today. I know I'm not wearing a t-shirt and jeans and my chucks. Sorry. I just felt like wearing, these are jeans. They're just like fancy, stretchy jeans. Because I need stretchy. They don't even make not stretchy jeans anymore. But I thank the Lord for the grace of jeans. Called grace jeans. They're gracious to whatever. But if I got in the middle of the road and started to direct traffic, would anybody listen to me? No. I'd probably cause an accident. I would be a distraction. People would be wondering, what is that guy doing in the middle of the road with his purple shirt, his pretty too tight jeans, standing there with his hair combed over, and he's got his, I don't get it, what's he doing there? And they'll just be avoiding me, right? Because I have no authority in and of myself to stand in the middle of the road and direct traffic. But if I were to put on a uniform, all of a sudden, people would start listening. Because there's power in that uniform. There's authority in that uniform. And we, when we see it, we listen. We just hope and pray he's telling us to go and everybody else to stop when we get there. But we respect the authority that the uniform has. See, once that person takes the uniform off, the authority is no longer there. But does he still have it? He does. But there's something about when you put that on. You see, in our life, so many of us, we struggle with life. We struggle with different things in areas of life where we're wondering, why can I not succeed? Why do I keep stumbling over the same kind of distractions in life and the fights in life and the hard times? This morning, let me tell you, the devil came out in my kids. My kids, we woke them up at 6:15. My kids have already lost going and hang out with their buddies. They've already lost Fortnite. They've lost everything before 9 o'clock this morning. And this morning I'm teaching about spiritual warfare, and I should have woken up and said, hey, boys, I got to tell you right now, the devil's going to be hating you today. He's going to use you and abuse you, and you're going to lose that. Well, they lie. I should have done that, but instead I was downstairs having a quiet time so I could be more spiritual today. But you see, we wonder why we struggle, and it's because we struggle because we walk around like we have authority, but we're not in the right authority. See, we're walking around trying to figure out life, trying to walk through the struggles, trying to work through all that on our own strength, but it's like us wearing our normal clothes, standing in the middle of the road, trying to tell Satan, hey, stop, you can't do anything. And Satan says, by what authority do you have over me? And he runs right over us. You see, in and of ourselves, when we wonder, why is my marriage struggling? Why are my finances struggling? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? We're trying to do it in our own strength. You will always struggle. If it's not one thing, it'll be another, and it'll be a battle every single day of your life. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, we all struggle. You see, the difference is when a person puts their faith in Jesus, the struggle and the burden goes on him and not on you. It's whether or not you are putting on his authority and you are living in his strength each day. You have to make that choice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this morning. And God, I ask that you would speak to us, encourage us. Lord, I thank you, God, that we do not have to walk in our own strength, but we can walk in yours. And Lord, today, I pray that we would each learn what that is like, how to do it. It's easy to say it, it's easy to think it, but so difficult to do it. So Lord, I ask you today that you would help each one of us to come up with a plan on how we can walk in your authority and in your strength and not in our own. Lord, I pray that we would rest in who you are, not in who we are. And Jesus, I ask that you'd speak an encouraging message to your people at churches all over the valley today, Lord, wherever they are. God, that you'd speak through your pastors that are sharing your word. God, I pray for refuge and speak through Joshua this morning, Ryan over at North Valley. Lord, I pray for CCV and Calvary Community and Lord, Calvary Surprises that are going through some transition. God, I just ask that you'd speak through your people. Encourage your people and speak to us this morning at City View. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Ephesians chapter 6. You see, as we're turning there, we have to be willing to admit that we have an enemy as we walk into this part. Maybe some of you are sort of on this faith journey. You're still trying to figure out, I don't know if I believe in Jesus or not, but you're wondering why you struggle each day with these different temptations that pop in your mind. You're wondering why there's this battle each day for different things. You're wondering why you just can't quit, why you just can't stop, why you just can't, and you think of this list of things. Why? Because you really do have an enemy. And he's really out to get you. And his goal is to destroy your life any way he possibly can. If we're unwilling to admit that part, then you know what? The rest doesn't matter. But here's what Paul says. His final words to this church in Ephesus. He says, a final word, or finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies or the schemes of the devil. This is Paul's final charge to the church, to stand, to stand. I remember when we were training for going to Thailand, and one of the guys that was doing the training with me, one of the other leaders, he was a former Marine, and he was sharing with the students the, I think it's the four levels of awareness, four color levels, and he says white means you just are, you're fine, you don't have to worry about it. When you go yellow, it means you have to be alert, you have to sort of know, be aware of your surroundings, and then there's orange, it's like almost high alert, you're ready to fight, you're ready to do if it needs to be, and then there's red, meaning you are ready to fight, you know your enemy's coming, and you have to be aware of what's going on around you. So many of us are living in white or yellow. So many of us are living in oblivion, and we're wondering, why do we keep stumbling and struggling and failing and falling? Because we just live in this life thinking, okay, I'll be okay. Or we're in this yellow stage, we're like, well, you know, maybe, I might struggle some, instead of living in the orange and the red. Instead of living going, you know what, I know the fight is real every single day. And if I'm not ready for this fight, it will take me out every single day. And that's what happens. And Paul says here to this church, to this group of people, he says to us today, finally, be strong in the Lord. We're not to be strong in our own might. We are not to think that we can do it on our own. We also are not to think that this life is supposed to be easy. It's hard. We are to be strong, but not in our might, but in God's. We are to rely in his power, not our power. We are to rely on God's strength and lean into his strength. When I think about somebody leaning into God's strength, it reminds me of when I was teaching my son Judah how to mow a lawn. And he would get there and he would be pushing the lawnmower, but in reality, I'm pushing the lawnmower. He's just standing in between me and the lawnmower, being all proud that he can push it, but the strength and the power is me. But the joy in the accomplishment of working through the struggle is him. You see, when it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, that's the idea of leaning into the power and the might of God. Why is this so important? Because Paul just said, the devil is scheming. He has strategies on how to take you out. He knows what tempts you. He's not stupid. The devil is not stupid. He knows how to work things. He knows what to do. He's scheming. That means he is looking for an opportunity. It says in Luke when Jesus was being tempted by the devil in Luke chapter 4. It says that Jesus was being tempted by the devil, and three different times the devil tempts him with different things. How does Jesus beat him? Through God's word. He quotes scripture. That's how Jesus beats him. That was Jesus. The devil left. His father's word. But then it says, when the devil left, that he left, but he intended to come back at an opportune time. The devil is scheming. Peter says he prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. Now, I don't want us to live in fear, but we have to live ready. You have to live ready. I was at football practice yesterday with the boys, and it's fun. Actually, I have a girl on my team now. and that's a lot of fun, too. It's just, you know, we got a whole bunch of new kids, and just teaching them basics, just some basics. But it's amazing at how many kids will get hit in the face because they're not ready. Because they're sort of off. I mean, this is what we're doing. You're football, and the goal right now is you run and turn, and a ball is coming your way at that turn. But they will get hit in the face because they're sort of off, like, turning, bam. I didn't know you were going to throw it. We said we're going to throw it. As soon as you make that turn, the ball is coming. The ball is coming before you make that turn. It's happening. You see, the devil, he's planning and he's scheming, and it's going to be coming before you know it. And if you're not ready, it's going to hit you, and it's going to be hit you way off, and you're going to have no clue what happened. But you see, Paul says you don't have to be hit and not know it. You can be ready and block it when it comes. So how? How can we rely upon God's strength? How can we do this? If any of you are like me, we all struggle. We all struggle with different things. So how can we do this? First, number one, the first thing, you have to put your faith in Jesus. If you have not put your faith in Jesus, and if you are not a child of God, then you know what? You will struggle and you will fail for the rest of your life and you will never succeed. You'll never overcome the things you want to overcome. You'll never beat them. You will always be spinning your wheels. You'll wonder, why isn't my life like them? Why don't I have hope in the struggles like they have hope in their struggles? Why can't I see past the moment in front of me? How is it that they can go through hell yet still see heaven, and I'm going through hell and all I see is death? Why is it different for me than for them? We have the same life. We have everything the same. Well, the difference could be that they put their faith in Jesus, so as they walk through hell, they still see heaven. Because you have not put your faith in Jesus, you're walking through hell and all you see is death. So you have to say, okay, where's my faith right now? Number one, if you want to know how to walk in his strength, if you want to know how to walk in his might, you have to put your faith in Jesus. So I asked you this morning, who is your faith in? Who do you trust with your life? If you have not put your faith in Jesus this morning, and you're going, you know what, I want that to be changed. I want to know that my faith is in him, and I want to know my strength comes from him. If that's you right now, let's bow our heads and let's pray right now. Well, there's no reason to take any more time. Let's have changed lives right now in this moment. If that's you, you can pray quietly to yourself, out loud, whatever you want to do. Just say, God, I give up. God, I want to put my faith in your son, Jesus Christ. I ask that you'd forgive me of my sins and help me to live for you. God, I trust you. I believe in you. Help me to live in your strength, in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, when we know where our salvation comes from, that it's not in our abilities, it's not in how good we are, it's not in how mighty we are, or in how much we know of God's word, or how much we know of who God is, but it's in who he knows and how much he knows about us. Salvation sets us free. Everything starts at that point. A life change starts when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. That's the first step of being able to walk in his might and in his strength when you are a child of God. The second step, number two, is you have to know your weakness. You have to know your weaknesses. You have to know where you're going to struggle, where you're possibly going to fall. One of the things about coaching is I have to watch the kids. I have to see, okay, where can I help them grow? I want to strengthen their strengths, but I want to reinforce their weaknesses so they can get stronger in those areas too. We have to know our weaknesses. We have to admit it. Our pride blinds us from our true condition. It makes us think that we have some measure of strength in and of ourselves. You see, pride makes us think that the longer we are Christians, the stronger we become. That's what pride makes you think. Pride makes you amazed when you stumble and fall. Pride makes you sort of embarrassed that you stumble and fall. Pride makes you ashamed when you stumble and fall. That's what pride does. Pride makes you think that you shouldn't have done it. But we have to admit that we could never do it in the first place. See, when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, you realize, Jesus, I can't, I need you. I need you. I need your strength. I need your ability.
You see, we never become stronger in and of ourselves. It's not like going and lifting weights. All of a sudden, you get stronger. We see, the more we put our faith and trust in Jesus, the more we rely upon His strength, not ours. He gets stronger in our eyes, not us. The thing is, it's not we getting stronger. It's us relying more upon Him and us almost getting weaker to a point and relying more on His strength and realizing He's going to get us through it, trusting Him getting us through each and every day. That's how we get through the mess. That's how we get through the struggles. That's how we get through the trials. That's how we get through this. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, he says, "That's why I take pleasure in my weakness." This doesn't make sense, because we live in a world where we want to be strong. We don't want to be known as weak. We don't want that people know that we have weaknesses. We don't let people know that we have struggles. We want to keep all that to ourselves. And Paul says, that's backwards. Paul says, man, you really want to know it? He says, man, I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults and hardships and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, it's when we are willing to admit we are weak, His strength is allowed to take over. When we're willing to say, God, I can't, then He can say, but I can. You see, Paul says, finally, brothers, finally, sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. The third thing, we must know His strength. We must know how strong God is. I have a few things of just reminders here of God's strength. As we are thinking about how mighty God is and how powerful He is, remember this about God, that God created all things with His voice. His voice. When was the last thing you created anything with your voice other than a mess? That's what I created this morning. It's amazing when your kids wake up at 9:15 or 6:15 and they're like already little devils in your home. It's amazing. My voice, all it did was raise the stress level of our home. His voice creates beauty. What else did He do? He saved His people. God, through His power, parted an entire sea. Now, when I was in Alabama, I saw lots of rivers. They have a lot of water there. It's amazing when you aren't in the middle of the desert and there's green stuff everywhere. That green stuff makes water. Or water makes green stuff, I should say. Green stuff doesn't make water. I guess it all sort of works together and makes everything. But I looked at this river that's huge. I mean, it's bigger than any river we have. And that's nothing compared to the Red Sea. It says in Scripture that God parted the Red Sea and His people walked not on mud, but on dry ground. It says that Joshua, one of God's men, that he marched around the city seven times, the end of the seventh day on the seventh time, that they yelled at a wall and the walls fell down. I've done plenty of yelling and nothing has fallen down in my home. Because there's no authority and there's no power in my yell. But when it's God at a wall that is keeping His people from His promise, walls fall down. So when there's a wall between you and God's promise, that wall, when you trust in Him, that wall will fall down. Nothing can get in the way of you and the promise God has for you. He will knock walls down if He needs to. Even if they're like 60 feet high and 30 feet thick, it doesn't matter. That's like, I think, how big Jericho was. It's huge. But God says, no wall will keep my promises from you. He used angels to defeat His enemies. Jesus performed miracles and saw lives change. Jesus died, defeated death, came back from the dead, and saved all of mankind. That's the might of your God. When you want to believe, you step into this faith of relying upon his strength. We must, one, put our faith in him. Two, admit our weaknesses. Three, realize his strengths. We've got to realize his strengths. We must, as we realize his strengths, we must admit our enemy. It says in verse 12, for we were not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You see, it's easy when you have an enemy in front of you, and you know that's who you're going against. It's difficult when the enemy cannot be seen. And so we blame things on luck, chance, coincidence. We see our enemy, how he does things in our mind, temptation. How he does things in our mind, I don't know. I don't know how it works. I don't know, but I know that he manipulates, that he tempts, and that he does things that just are so evil. He attacks us through pride. He attacks us through health. Sometimes health is a serious attack from the enemy. Not always, but sometimes. It's amazing. I was telling you guys, or 2 weeks ago, when I said, anytime I go on a trip where I'm sharing about God or doing something like that, when somebody in my family gets sick, that night my son got the stomach bug. I'm just like, are you kidding me right now? He attacks through situations, and he attacks sometimes through people. Have you ever had that? A great day, and all of a sudden when your best friend comes up to you and says one of the nastiest things, you're like, where in the world did that come from? You see, the devil, he's scheming. He never rests. He never grows weary. He does not get tired. And sometimes it's not necessarily the devil that's attacking you. Remember, the devil is limited. He's not God. More than likely, you're not being attacked by the devil himself. So if you're blaming it all on the devil, just stop that. You're not that important. Okay? Devil is limited. He is limited. He is not God. But the devil, a third of the angels fell. He has minions. I don't know if you've ever seen the minion movies, these little yellow creatures. The devil's little minions are not nice looking. They're more like the purple ones that are evil. But you see, the devil uses his minions to attack you any and every chance he gets. You see, I think there are times the devil is giving more credit than he is due, because sometimes the whole reason you did it was solely because of your flesh and you gave in. And you need to say, you know what, that was me. But he is not given credit when it is due. And I'm saying you need to try to figure out, okay, was this the devil or not? I think you need to figure out, yes, I am being tempted every day, and he's scheming to destroy my life. And I have to be ready. So how can I be ready? How can I live in that state of orange or red? You're like, so should we live in fear? No. I don't walk around in fear, but I walk around ready. Now, I wasn't ready this morning when my kids were little demons. I should have been thinking, you know what? Wait a minute, honey. I'm teaching about spiritual warfare today. I'm teaching out of Ephesians chapter 6. That's why they're acting extra not good. We need to help them defeat the devil this morning. That's what I should have done as their dad. That's what I should have done as the husband, as the leader of the home. I should have realized that. But you see, I got so focused on my own quiet time, my own shower time, turning the music on while I'm, you know, focusing. I sort of get in the zone on Sunday mornings. I'm like focused. It's game time. And I got distracted, and the devil used even something so good to distract me. When you think about it, it just sucks. I could have helped my boys. So I guess I'm going to have to teach them later on today. That's what happened. Paul says this, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still stand, you will still be standing firm. We must rely on God's strength, walk in it, stand in it, put it on with anything and everything we do. Here Paul gives us the fourth thing we need to do. You must put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. When I was in college, I memorized this entire passage here. And that's why it's sort of hard for me to read in the new, because I memorized it in a different translation. So my brain is like jumbled. But I remember I'd wake up every morning and I would like pretend to put on the armor of God. Paul says this: put on the armor. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We must stand, Paul says. Three times Paul says, stand, stand, stand. He doesn't say fall back. He doesn't say retreat. He doesn't say lean back. He says stand, hold your ground. How can we hold our ground? Because Jesus already has the victory. We stand in victory, not in defeat. We stand knowing Jesus has won. But the thing is, we must stand. Don't give your ground, because Jesus has already won it. He says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. This is speaking of the righteousness that we have in Christ, that Jesus sees us as right in his eyes. He has given us his right. He has given us his purity. He has given us his life. That's what Jesus did. When we stepped into the faith of Jesus, when we stepped in and we believed in who Jesus is, it says that we are covered in his righteousness. Paul says, put that on each day. Realize who you are. Realize how God sees you. And then he says, put on the shoes of peace. Remember every day that we have peace with God. Remember that. God's not out to get you. He's not out mad at you, judging you. He's forgiven you. So Paul says, walk in peace. But in that walking in peace, we must share with the world that there is peace to have. Because our world lives in turmoil every day. Every day. So as we walk in that peace, we are to share that peace. And then he says, take up the shield of faith. This is speaking of our faith in God, and that God is real. What the word says is true. That salvation is here, and all the truths that come from the Bible, from God's word, that he says, believe in those. Believe in the truths of God's word. And you may say, I don't know many. Well, your one truth may be, I am a child of God. Put up that shield of faith. I am a child of God. Fiery arrows are coming. You know the distractions are coming. I am a child of God. Believe that. Repeat that. I am a child of God. That may be the only truth you know in the moment. It's the only truth you need to know in the moment. It says, put on the helmet of salvation. The fact that the helmet is related to salvation indicates that Satan's blows are directed at the believer's security. Because how many times have you done something and you think, do I really believe in Jesus? How many times have we made big mistakes and we think, man, maybe I'm not a child of God? How many times have we messed up so bad and the first thing we think is, man, why would God even love me? Because here's what the devil wants to do. He wants to distract you through doubt, and he wants to distract you through discouragement. He wants to make you think you're not worth it. But the Bible says, put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. It's in the truth of God's word that we will learn what we need to do so that we can stand. Jesus used the sword of the Spirit. Every time the devil attacked him, Jesus says, but God's word says. Every distraction came with it, but God's word says. When the fiery arrows came, Jesus says, but God's word says. When Jesus took a sword to the devil couldn't stand, but who was standing? Jesus. At the end of that distraction, was he standing strong? He was. But he was tired. And what did God do? He sent angels to encourage him, to strengthen him, to reinforce, because this fight is not easy. It is tiring. It is relentless. It never gives up. But your God is strong. He is mighty to save. He does not give up on you. Paul, as he is closing out this, he was wanting us to remember these truths, that we are blessed, that he chose us, that we are God's children, that we are forgiven, that we are set free, that we have a purpose and that he has a plan for us. It doesn't matter how ready we are, and it doesn't matter how many times we go to church. If we are not walking and living in the strength of God, we will fall. We need to walk in his strength and in his victory and realize he is strong. Lean into that strength. Lean into his might and watch what he does through you.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.